Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, hello. It's great to have you with us here on this Tuesday edition of our program. Thank you for joining me today. We're listening to a series by Derek Prince on the new life. I would almost retitle it Encountering Jesus. We learned from Derek yesterday that Jesus is the Word, that he's the Word of God who became flesh and lived among us. And when people encountered him, they were changed. In fact, their response to him determined their destiny for the rest of their lives. Today, we're going to take some time to look with Derek at how people responded to Jesus, the Word walking amongst them, back in Jesus' day, back in the first century. And then we're going to ask the question, is there any difference in the response that people have to Jesus today? This is such an important teaching. Let's just get right to it as Derek teaches us on the new life.
Now, in my talk today, I'm going to share with you how the people of that time responded to the presence of the eternal Word in their midst, which is just how people still respond today. In this respect, nothing has changed in the course of 2,000 years. Listen now to what John says about the response of the people of the time of Jesus. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He, the Word, Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made by him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, or to those who were his own, but his own did not receive him. He was in the world, he created the world, and yet the world, that is, the human society, the human social order of that time, not the universe, not created things, but the human order of that time, did not recognize him. He came to his own people, the Jewish people. They did not receive him. You see, the Jewish people of that time were looking for a political and military figure to deliver them from foreign rule and restore the kingdom of David. That was their concept of the promised Messiah. They saw their material needs, but they did not see their spiritual needs. People with such expectations could not recognize God in their midst. And yet their own prophets had clearly warned them that this was how it would be. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet Isaiah says in the first three verses, "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" He warns us against unbelief. And he speaks about Jesus as the arm, the strength, the manifestation of the Lord's divine intervention on behalf of his people. And then prophetically he gives this picture of Jesus. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of a dry ground. And believe me, Israel in those days was very dry ground spiritually. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Every one of those words was accurately fulfilled, first in Jesus himself, and then in the reaction of his own Jewish people to his coming. And then later on, the prophet Zechariah gives a picture of Jesus coming into Jerusalem as the ordained king. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." There's a key word there, which is gentle. Jesus came as the king promised. He rode into Jerusalem exactly as Zechariah had predicted, on the colt, the foal of the donkey. But he came gently. He didn't come as a mighty conqueror. He didn't come with a sword in his hand. He came in love. He came in pity. He came in mercy. And one of the greatest tragedies of human history is that because he came in this form, his own people did not recognize him, did not receive him. They had expected something different. They had expected something and someone who would meet their carnal and material needs, their political needs, their military needs. But Jesus had to come first to meet their spiritual needs, because until their spiritual needs were met, God was not able in his justice to give them what he had promised them, the kingdom of David, the first place among the nations. But they, not seeing their spiritual need, rejected the one whom God sent. And how would you respond if you'd been in their place? Before you criticize them, just ask yourself, do I realize my spiritual need? Or am I simply concerned with material, political, social issues, not seeing my own spiritual need? The irony of this situation was that though humanity did not recognize their Creator and their Redeemer, though the Jewish people themselves, for the most part, did not recognize him, the whole of the created universe recognized and knew and saw in Jesus the mighty God, the Creator. I want to illustrate this by four examples from his life on earth. First of all, when he's crossing the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. That's his humanity. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. What an irony. The tempestuous sea and the raging winds recognized their Creator. He spoke just one brief sentence to them. They obeyed him instantly. No wonder his disciples marveled. They themselves had not yet fully realized who it was that was in their midst, but the waves and the winds recognized him immediately. And then there's the story of the fig tree in Matthew 21, verses 18 and 19. Early in the morning, as he was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, May you never bear fruit again. Immediately, the tree withered. The tree recognized the authority of the words spoken by the Creator, and instantly it did what was appropriate to the situation. The tree withered under his judgment. You see, the tree recognized not only the Creator, but also the judge. And finally, even the Son recognized the Creator. We look now at the picture of the crucifixion of Jesus in Luke 23, verses 44 through 46, as this tragedy approached its climax. This is what Luke says. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. Even the Son could not bear to watch the dying agony of the eternal Son of God. And yet most of the human spectators saw only a man dying a criminal's death in agony and shame. There are always two ways to look at the life of Jesus. One is to see only the natural. The other is to see the divine and the eternal behind the veil of the natural. Now, before you start to criticize the people of Jesus' time, the Jewish people and others, just ask yourself this question. Is it possible that God has somehow come into my life and I have not recognized him? Am I so concerned with my physical and material needs that when God comes to meet my spiritual needs, I just don't recognize him?
I don't know about you, but listening to Derek teach has helped me realize the magnificence of the Jesus I serve. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
When life seems lifeless and hope far away, it's time for change, a complete transformation. In his encouraging book, Transformed for Life, Derek Prince reveals how Jesus' death on the cross began a marvelous transformation that can reach into your life right now. Through its pages, you'll discover how God's sacrificial gift forever changed the lives of those who know him and why his sacrifice will take care of you completely. God's love for you is far from ordinary. Isn't it time for you to see how you can become transformed for life? To order your copy or to get one for someone you love, call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is only $12.95, and if you order now, we will make sure you receive it in time for the holidays. God has a transformed life waiting for you. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us here on this Tuesday. We're learning about who Jesus is, and we're just about to learn what it means to be born again in Jesus Christ. Let's listen.
Our theme centers around one of the most important and amazing facts of human history. At a certain point in time, God came onto the stage of human history in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Hebrew prophets had long been proclaiming that such a thing would happen, and the Jewish people of that time were actually expecting a Messiah, a national hero, one who would deliver them from the rule and oppression of Imperial Rome and make them a free and sovereign nation again in their own land. They saw clearly enough their material needs, but they were for the most part blind to their spiritual needs. Whereas Jesus came primarily at that time to meet the spiritual needs of his people. Consequently, because of this blindness, his own people did not recognize who he was and did not receive him. But thank God that was not true of all. Though the nation as a whole, and particularly the religious leaders, rejected Jesus, there were many individuals who did recognize and receive him. At first, all those who received him were from his own people, Jewish. But in due course, as his Jewish disciples carried his message to the rest of the world, there were multitudes from all nations who likewise recognized and received him. In my talk today, I'm going to explain what happened to those who received him, and what still happens today to all who receive him. I'm going to go back to that first chapter of John's Gospel, and I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. The first two verses we read yesterday concerning the fact that his own people did not receive him. We'll start there, but thank God we can go on to something more encouraging. Verses 12 and 13 speak about those who did receive him. Here is what John says. He, Jesus, the Word, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Thank God it doesn't end there. The next verse begins with a but. Thank God for that but. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Look at that last verse for a moment and leave out the negatives, the nots. It says, who were born of God. That's our theme. That's the title of my message this week, born of God. Those who received him, it says, he gave them the right or the authority to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. The word believe speaks of faith. It's a faith transaction. By faith, they recognized who he was and received him for what he was in faith. And as a result of receiving him, they were born of God. But in order to make it absolutely clear what kind of a birth it's speaking of, John says, first of all, they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. So there are three possibilities which are ruled out. It was not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a man, and the word in Greek is not just a human being, but a male or a husband. And we read an alternative translation for that verse from the New International Version, John 1:13. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. So there are three possibilities that are ruled out. The only possibility left is it was a birth of God. God became their father. A new birth. Let's look at for a moment at the negatives, just to understand them more clearly. It was not of blood. It was not of natural descent. It wasn't of human inheritance. Your father or your mother may be a wonderful Christian, but that doesn't make you a Christian, because it's not of natural descent. You may be born into a Christian community or a Christian nation, but that doesn't make you a Christian. It's not of natural descent. Not of the will of the flesh, not of some human impulse, such as that which causes us to eat or drink or do things that satisfy our physical nature. It's not that kind of decision. Third, it's not of the will of a man or a husband's will. It's not the prompting of sexual desire that's normal for a husband toward his wife. That's not the kind of impulse or motivation behind it, but the positive, born of God. It's God's purpose. It's God's will. It's God's own nature that is imparted through the new birth. And because it's of God, therefore those who receive it in receiving Him, Jesus, become God's children. Further on in John's Gospel, Jesus Himself speaks about this experience of being born of God. It's found in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus had acknowledged that Jesus must be a teacher sent from God because of the miracles which He performed. But in reply, Jesus pinned him down about the new birth. Reading then from verse 3, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. You see, Nicodemus had the problem of his people. He could see only in the natural and in the physical. Jesus was talking in spiritual terms. Nicodemus was trying to interpret him in physical terms. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, unless a man is born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He can neither see it nor enter it. And then Jesus continues, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. If it was a fleshly nature, it would be a fleshly birth. But it's a spiritual nature, and therefore it's a spiritual birth brought about by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And then Jesus concludes by saying, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Notice that word must. There are no options. If you ever want to see or enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. That phrase, born again, could equally well be translated born from above, from on high, or it could be translated born anew, a totally new beginning. There are three distinctive features of this birth that Jesus brings out. First of all, it's from God. Second, it's from above. And third, it's by the Spirit of God. And so the result corresponds with that which brings it about. It's a birth from God. It makes us God's children. It's from above. It's not from the human level. It opens up to us the kingdom of heaven. And it's by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent who imparts to us this new nature, which comes through receiving Jesus.
Remember, as Derek has said, that being born again is from God, it's from above, and it's by the Spirit. More to come, including Derek wrapping up this marvelous teaching as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
How would you define extravagant? The absolute best? Over-the-top luxury? The ultimate in comfort and security? Then what would extravagant love be like? And what would extravagant love mean to you? The dictionary defines extravagant as going beyond reasonable limits, excessive, or unrestrained. And although you may not realize it, the truth is, you are loved in that way right now. God Himself loves you extravagantly. In his book, Extravagant Love, Derek Prince searched out key parables and scriptures from the Bible
that define and explain God's love. He compiled these verses along with his insights into a comprehensive, easy-to-read book. God's love is not only unconditional, it is excessive and unrestrained. That is why we want you to have a free copy of Extravagant Love, absolutely free and postage paid. To get your copy, give us a call right now, 800-448-3261. The book and the call are both free. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the extravagant inheritance that waits you. Grasp the scope of God's extravagant love for you. Call now and request your free copy. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy of Extravagant Love when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. We're listening to Derek Prince teach today on what it means to be born again. Let's listen.
Let's compare the words of James in his epistle, chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. First of all, James says in verse 17, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above. Everything that's truly good and truly perfect is not on the human or natural level, because this whole human level of ours has been corrupted by sin. So anything truly good or truly perfect must come from above, from God. And then going on to speak about specifically this new birth, James says in the next verse, verse 18, in the exercise of his will, God brought us forth. You remember that John said it was by the will of God, not by the will of man. And here we have the same truth. It's in the exercise of his will, God's will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. It comes by believing the word, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. You see, when we're born again, we become part of a new race, the Emmanuel race, the God-man race. We're still human, but we have a divine nature in us. And we're the first fruits of God's creation. There's a new order coming. This sin-corrupted, sin-dominated order that we're familiar with is not going to last forever. The kingdom of God is coming to earth, a new order. But we are the beginning of that new order. We're the first fruits of that new creation. We have the privilege of being in the new creation now, yet in the midst of the old order. Everything around us remains unchanged, but we have been sovereignly, supernaturally changed from above through receiving Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you a personal question as I close this talk today. Have you ever been born again? Do you know what that means? If not, you can be. It's simple. God has made it simple, thank God. It just means that you receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. That's all you have to do.
You know, as we listen to this, I want to commend a prayer to you out of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul prayed for us that we would be given a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we could know Jesus better. For those of you who are already believers, pray that prayer so that your life in Jesus deepens. For those of you listening who don't know Jesus, who aren't born again, pray that prayer also. And I believe marvelous things are going to happen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order your copy of Derek's book, Transformed for Life, give us a call toll free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is just $12.95. And when you call, be sure to request your free copy of Derek's powerful booklet, Extravagant Love. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order both resources securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.